Episode 12, The Red Cardinal. Thursday the 5th of May 2022. Today is the day. The thought of this day has caused me much sadness. I still don't understand why. Is this sadness actually happiness? Tears of joy because I'm so happy that I'm doing the right thing by my wife. Happiness knowing that she'll be happy, that I've gone to these extremes for her. When I think back to the funeral, that gives me the same kind of feelings. Yet I look back and I'm happy and proud of the way that the day went, and most importantly, the respect that was shown to Julie. She was honoured by all in a remarkable way. I'm sure she looked down on that day with great pride and a realisation that she really was a respected person who people had a real love for. Today we show that respect again. The sun is shining bright, it's a beautiful day in New York, and we're going to celebrate Julie's life and enjoy and make the most of the day. I'm videoing the event for all family and friends who are not in New York today. So we all leave the apartment in Brooklyn. It truly is a glorious day, it's sunny and really warm. We walk to the subway and travel through Brooklyn and over the Williamsburg Bridge. The view of Manhattan's skyline when crossing the bridge is amazing. The difference between Brooklyn and Manhattan is like two different cities. We stay on the subway through Manhattan and exit at Lexington and 51st. There's a couple of places I need to visit before going to Central Park. I'm heading to East 49th and the second floor apartment that we stayed at in 2018. I look up at the iconic fire escapes that furnish the buildings in New York. Julie would sit on the fire escape each morning, having a cigarette and a cup of coffee, whilst watching the hustle and bustle of New York passing by. I scatter a handful of ashes on the pavement outside. Julie loved staying in that apartment. We head around the corner to 2nd Avenue and have lunch at the Smith's restaurant sat outside on the walkway. The food is really good there, and sat outside watching Manhattan go by is just my thing. People watching, I love it. We're now heading north towards Central Park, but before we do, we're going to stop off at Logos Bookstore on East 84th in York. Logos is the bookshop used in the US drama You, and a place Julie wanted to visit the next time she was in New York. She was a massive fan of dramas, and love the American hit drama You. I can't pass up the opportunity on a special day, can I? We find the bookstore. It looked like it had not been touched since the early 70s, quite a dishevelled place. I scatter a handful of ashes outside and then enter the building. An extremely overweight cat lay on the floor just inside the doorway. It refuses to move. We step over it and enter the store. Julie would have loved to have had a look around here. She was a big reader and would have loved the nostalgia of the place. Time's getting on now. It's early evening and we've still got a bit of a walk to Central Park. We eventually enter the southeast side of the park at about 6:30 p.m. It's such a beautiful evening. It's still warm and sunny. The park is busier than expected, probably due to the glorious weather. After walking for a while, I suddenly stop and say to myself, "Where are you going?" I'm halfway across the park. The area where I'm scattering the ashes is near where I entered the park. I can't believe I've been so absent-minded. I've been thinking about this moment for over 5 months, visualising the exact spot on the east side of the park. The photograph of Julie by the boulder and the Manhattan skyline behind her. How could I be halfway across the park? The others don't know I'm miles off track. They've just been following my lead. I keep saying to myself, "What are you doing?" Then suddenly a thought enters my head. A thought that's as clear as day. I then realise it's not a thought. It's a message. A clear message. And I suddenly know why I'm heading this way. Strawberry Fields, of course. It all makes sense. Julie doesn't want her ashes scattering on the east side. She's leading me to Strawberry Fields. When we came to New York in 2018, one of the main things that Julie wanted to see was the Imagine Monument in Central Park. For anybody who doesn't know, the Strawberry Fields area of the park is a tribute to John Lennon. He was shot across the road from the park while entering Dakota Apartments. It's a big tourist attraction in the park, and generally the buskers play the Beatles. Julie was a big Beatles fan. I immediately start heading to the west of the park, then up the hill to Strawberry Fields. The monument is a black and white checkered mosaic disc with the words Imagine on it. Though there are plenty of people around the area, it didn't seem as touristy as I remember it in 2018. After being stood there for a while, I suddenly turned to face a small field beside the path. There were a few people scattered around, sat on the grass, enjoying the pleasant evening. I stood there for a while, just looking at the field, half transfixed. My daughter was stood next to me, when I suddenly pointed to an area diagonally over to my right, around 50 to 60 metres away. The area looked as if it had a few trees and I could see a small boulder. "It's over there," I said to my daughter. "That's where we need to be." "Well, let's just have a look around, Dad," she said. "That's the first place you've seen." "I know," I said. "But something's drawing me over there." We walked across the small field looking for a suitable spot. At the end of the field, we turned right onto a path. As we walked a short distance, maybe 30, 40 metres, we saw a photographer stood just off the path, zooming in on two birds on a bush directly in front of him. The five of us just stopped and waited silently. One of the birds was bright red. I can only describe it as if it was made of red acrylic with the sun shining through it. It seemed so bright in the sunlight. The bird next to it was brown and looked plain in comparison. The two birds looked like they were kissing. We all waited, hoping that we weren't to blame if the birds flew off. After a very short time, the birds hopped onto another bush, then flew away. The photographer turned around to face us. I was expecting him to be annoyed because we disturbed the birds, but instead, he supported a huge smile. "Did you see that?" he said. "The male feeding the female." "What bird was it?" I asked. "The red cardinal," he replied. He then said goodbye and walked away. We carried on walking along the path another 30 metres or so, and in front of me was a gathering of small trees. The first tree had a large love heart carved into the trunk. Opposite were two small smooth boulders. I looked at the boulders and mentally saw an image of Julie sat on one of them, smoking a cigarette whilst tapping her foot as she always did. This was the place I'd pointed to originally when stood near the monument. I'd had a big feeling towards this area. Something had drawn me to it, and now I'd seen the love heart and the boulders and the way it was secluded yet part of Strawberry Fields, I knew it was the right place. I knew Julie had picked this place and guided me here. Just like when she visited June Field, the medium, to have a look around the apartment, she'd come to Central Park to find the perfect place. She never shouted or screamed, but she always got her own way, and she had once again. I would have put her on the other side of the park, but she decided to pick herself the perfect secluded spot in earshot of the buskers that played the Beatles. I turned to the others and said, "This is it. This is the place." This was the moment I'd been imagining for such a long time. It was emotional. A time of happiness and sadness mixed into one. A very peculiar moment in my life. The deed had been done. Over 3,000 miles from home, on the most beautiful evening, Julie's ashes lay in the spot she'd picked herself. What could be more perfect? Nothing. Nothing could be more perfect. We walked away from the park and onto 7th Avenue and headed south towards Times Square and then east to Bryant Park. On the walk back, two things occupied my mind. Firstly, the thought that I was purposely walking ahead of the others as I felt awkward. They all held each other's hands and I was the odd one out. This had been very apparent during the trip, a feeling of real loneliness and solitude. It's hard when you're used to being with someone for such a long time and then suddenly they're not there to hold your hand as you walk down the road. But the main thing that was on my mind was a look on the photographer's face when the birds flew off. The look of pure joy. This bloke was a serious bird spotter. You could tell by the quality of his camera. The look on his face told me that getting that close-up of the male feeding the female was not an everyday occurrence, and that he was privileged to see it. I kept thinking of how bright in colour the male was, and the look on the bloke's face. Those two images kept flashing backwards and forwards in my mind, flickering from one to the other. Were they trying to tell me something? I knew seeing the birds was a sign from Julie, but what was she trying to say? Then it suddenly occurred to me. 17 years earlier, when Julie had a brain tumour, and our lives changed forever. As well as caring for her even more than I already did, there was one major change in our lives. I took over the cooking duties. Julia totally lost her sense of taste from the surgery, something that never returned to her. From that day on, Julie barely cooked a meal. I doubt she cooked 50 meals in them 17 years. I've been able to cook since I was a kid, but after taking over the cooking duties, I'd become quite an accomplished cook, trying to get all the colours, textures, spice, seasoning right so Julie could enjoy food to a certain extent. Julie said that she got more from my food than at any restaurant. The Red Cardinal is North America's spiritual bird. It was a sign from Julie. I'd been doing for the last 17 years what the Red Cardinal had done tonight. I'd fed the female. The look on the guy's face, how happy he was to see such a beautiful act of nature close up. Was this Julie thanking me for what I'd done for her? She thanked me for a meal each night, as everybody did. But she never truly expressed her gratitude for the effort I put into making meal times more tolerable. These meals weren't beans on toast. These were home-cooked meals of a high quality and variety to try and keep her interested. No matter how late I arrived home from work, I still made sure she ate well. If I was going to the match midweek, I'd ensure that a dinner was ready for her. I just wanted to care for her and make her happy. I thought of the way things had panned out in Central Park. From the recurring mental visions 5 months earlier, identifying Central Park as a final resting place. How I wandered aimlessly until the sudden yet crystal clear realisation that she wanted to be in Strawberry Fields. How I was drawn to the exact area 50 metres away, an area that I could barely see. The perfect timing to stumble upon an act of nature that not many people would have been lucky enough to see in a lifetime. An act performed by the spiritual bird of North America. And how did we end up in the exact place I'd identified earlier, and instead of X marking the spot, a carved love heart did? I'll tell you why. Because that's where Julie wanted her ashes scattering. And she guided me to the exact place. And how does she do that? Because having a part of her in New York, her favourite place on earth, would have been a dream for her. She knew that my spiritual door was wide open and all she had to do was communicate with me. She knew I'd follow my instincts and she also knew I'd do anything for her. Julie knows how much I appreciate her help since she's died, sending me the signs to tell me she's okay, to give me strength and belief. Strength to lead myself and our family through this tragedy and the belief to realise that moving forward in life is the right thing to do. Taking her across the Atlantic has been my honour. It's been my honour to make her happy for the last time, and I hope that she looks down and realises that when she had her time on earth, she had somebody who truly loved her. The following day we took the subway from Brooklyn to Bryant Park. It wasn't the best weather. Light drizzle was predicted all day. We decided to go our own way and do our own thing. I started by having coffee in the park while watching Manhattan go by. The market stalls were open, and I bought some t-shirts and had a good chat with one of the stall owners from the Bronx. His prints are amazing and just my thing. It's nice to chat with the natives. You're just enjoying the city, but this city is their life. It's part of them, part of their character, especially such an iconic place like New York. I then started a long walk north, back to Central Park. I walked the whole internal perimeter of the park, finishing at Julie's resting place. The ashes were still very visible on the ground, even though it had rained. I met a guy originally from Honduras, who now lived in Brooklyn but came to the park each day to make a living from the tourists. He'd seen us scattering the ashes the day before, and said he would lay flowers at Julie's resting place. On the Sunday, we went to a market on the west side of Central Park. There were all kind of weird and wonderful stalls. I found a stall that sold handmade prints of animals. There was one print left of a red cardinal. Though the print was expensive for what it was, I knew it needed to be on Julie's memorial at home. After leaving the market, we went to Julie's resting place in the park, where we found that the ground was scattered with petals. The man in the park had kept to his word. What a truly lovely gesture. The following Tuesday was our last day. The sun was shining, it was really warm, and we decided to do our own thing and meet back at the apartment at 4 p.m. before leaving for the airport. I headed back to Central Park for the last time. I walked up to Strawberry Fields, where there was a real buzz about the place. The busker was on form singing continuous Beatles songs. I listened for a while, then recorded a video walking from the Imagine Memorial to Julie's resting place. This was for any family or friends who wished to visit the spot when visiting New York. I reached Julie's resting place and sat on one of the boulders. It was so peaceful. Such a secluded spot, yet so close to one of the main attractions in the park. I can hear, with a little help from my friends, playing in the distance. I'm just sat on the boulder, reminiscing and drifting away. I'm back part of the moving photograph, away in another world. In my subconscious, I can hear something continuously calling. It's similar to when you hear a siren or a car alarm in the distance. You hear it, yet it doesn't register. You hear it in your subconscious but don't react until you bring it to the forefront of your mind. I'm sat on the boulder, away in another world, hearing this constant sound. I look up and see the red cardinal sat at the end of the branch of the love heart tree, no more than 2 to 3 meters from my head. He's staring at me, screaming for my attention. It's as if he's been shouting my name over and over again. I can't believe what I'm seeing. How long has he been stood there calling me? I was away in another world. These birds are common in the park, but elusive in a way. The day after the scattering, I walked around the whole park looking for them and didn't see one. Nor on Sunday, nor in 2018. In the 15 minutes I was sat on that boulder, the red cardinal came back to see me 4 times, close and personal, and brought the female on one of those occasions. The song the cardinal sings is bright and beautiful, full of life and joy, the way things should be. It's nature at its finest. People feel sorry for me after what's happened to Julie. They say, I don't know how you coped. I don't know how you carried on. Do they know how lucky I feel? How lucky I feel being the type of person I am. The type of person whose spiritual door is wide open, so I can communicate with Julie, to understand what she wants me to do, to be strong and experienced enough to follow my instincts no matter what anybody says or thinks. So I'm sat on a rock, knowing that I've done right by my wife, I've given her what she wanted and she sends the red cardinal as confirmation. I can now move forward, happily knowing I've completed my mission and made her happy. There's a bright future ahead of me, a future I'm now looking forward to. A new life, a different life, a life where I'm a stronger and wiser person, and a life where the experiences from my old life will now be implemented into my new life to create something special for myself, my family, and hopefully for my new partner. And will a chance meeting on the way home open my eyes to what's to come?